I'm Matt Lehman, and you're listening to Django Riffs. We talk about Django, the Python web framework that will help you build your next web app. Let's get to the topic for this episode. Episode 12, Success with Static Files. Hi, welcome back to Django Riffs. On this episode, our focus is going to turn to static files. Static files are vital to your application, but they have little to do with Python code. However, we'll see what they are and what they do and why they're so critical. On the last episode, we talked about Django middleware. We looked at where middleware lived in a Django application, what it was for, how you could work with it, how you could create your own. But this time we're going to turn our attention to static files. We need to talk first about what static files are. Static files are files that are static. In other words, they don't change when your application is running. And when we think about static files, we are very familiar with these file types of being users on the internet. We encounter them a lot, but we may not have known what they were called. So good examples of static files include images, JavaScript that runs code on your browser, cascading style sheets that actually define the styling of an HTML page. All of these things are very critical, but none of them have to do with Python necessarily. We need to tell Django to work with these files because they're very important for our projects. We have projects that, you know, you could make a website that is purely HTML and has no styling, but how many of those kind of pages do you encounter in real life? How many pages on the internet use no styles at all and are just blank tables or blank paragraph tags and completely the basics and the default? You might encounter a couple. Maybe there's a kind of a site that is created for some internal tooling and no one cares about the look and feel of it. But the average website that you'll encounter on the internet has a lot of static files in play. There are a lot of images that get used. There's very beautiful websites out there that are done with CSS and JavaScript and all of these things. So they're very important for most applications, and we need to understand how to use them. So let's get into that by first looking at how to configure static files for your Django application. To configure static files, we're going to include a Django app in the list of installed apps, and that's django.contrib.staticfiles. And this is another one that comes with the built-in start project command. So if you started from start project, you're all ready to go. There's nothing to do there. I'm going to go over a few of the settings that I think are valuable to configure for static files and explain what each of them is for, and then we'll get into some of the usage patterns. The first one I want to talk about is the static files DIRS setting. And if you remember back to the template episode, I talked about creating a single directory for your templates that gives you a logical place to put all the templates. And I discussed the fact that this is not something that is a unified vision across the Django community. Some will argue for having template directories within your applications. Some will take the position, like I do, that templates belong in a single directory for your project. But I'm going to make a similar argument for static files in your project. I think that it's really beneficial to have a single static directory that contains your static files for everything that your apps need. I find that valuable to know where they are, to know where I'm going to find my CSS, my images, my JavaScript, any kind of extra files that I need. It's convenient for me and from my perspective to put them in a single directory. The static files DIRS setting is what enables this to work for the static files app. So in your project settings.py file, create a setting called static files underscore DIRS. And it's a list setting, and we need to give it a path. So I'm going to use os.path.join with the base directory, base dir, and the second argument to join is a string of static. So that is going to tell Django that the root of my project has a static directory that it should look for static files as it begins to use them. The next thing to do is to configure a URL path prefix for all of your static files. Let's think of an example when we're discussing this prefix stuff. Let's say that you have a CSS file for your entire site. And so we're going to call this site CSS. And you want it to live at the root of your static directory. You could configure things such that when your website is accessing this file, you get some kind of path like mysite.com/site.css. And that could work and get the static file and load it in the browser like you would expect it to. But what happens if you wanted a route in your application that happened to use something? Site.css may not be an example that would conflict, but you can imagine that there could be static files that have a name such that they would take up valuable URL routes. So what the static URL setting does is it puts a prefix in front of that. It gives a namespace to it. As we know from the Zen of Python, namespaces are one honking great idea, and we should do more of those. So by adding a prefix to this stuff, we get our static files out of the way from any of our routes that we might consider. So we're going to add the static URL setting, and we're going to give it a string of /static/. Now, with that setting in place, when we want to access a site.css file from our website, we would visit mysite.com/static/site.css. So all of our static files are still accessible, but they have to be accessed through this extra URL path. And that gives us the benefit of deconflicting with any other URLs that might be on the site. There's one more crucial setting to consider, and it's called static root. When we want to deploy our project, the static files should be in a single directory. And the reasons for that have to do with efficiency that I'm going to discuss a little bit later, but just know for now that ultimately your static files are going to be stored in a single place. As I mentioned earlier, we're using the static files dir setting, so that's kind of already true, but there are other Django apps that will have static files as well. And so those apps will store their static files in other places. And so what Django static root setting does is it will pull together all of the files into a single directory. We need to define what that directory is because the Django app will need to look in a single place for it. So we'll create a new setting in our project settings file. We'll call it static_root, and we're going to give it a value of os.path.join. And again, pass in base dir as the first argument, and the second argument is going to be a string that I'm calling static files. The name here doesn't really matter, but what you should note is that you should, if you're using version control, which I strongly recommend, you should make sure to add that static files directory to your git ignore file or whatever version control system you're using to make sure that you don't commit that stuff to source control, because this is basically the output that is going to go into the deployment process. So that configures static files, and now we're ready to use them in our Django code. The primary way that we interact with static files is with a template tag. The template tag is called static. So let's look at an example to see how it's used. I've got a very minimal Django template here, and at the very top of the file, we're going to load in the static template tags with the open curly brace percent load static percent close curly brace. And then we've got an HTML file, and it's got a doc type to make it HTML5 and an HTML tag and a head tag and a body. Most of these are not super important details, so you can go look at the show notes if you want to check it out. But what does matter is in the head tag, we have a link tag for a CSS style sheet. And in the href attribute of that link tag, we have our call to the static template tag. So that looks like href equals open quote curly brace percent, then the keyword static for that template tag, and then a string value of css/site.css, and it closes that out with percent close curly brace close string. And again, I know some of these template tags in particular are pretty hard to do over audio format, so if you want to see these examples, go check out the show notes, and they're all in there that you can go see them. So in this example, we're using the static template tag, and I'm assuming that there is a CSS directory in my static directory, and that within that CSS directory is a site.css file. What the template tag is going to do is to take the static URL and the path that I've already provided and combine them together so that the output will look something like /static/css/site.css in the most basic format. I think it's important to note the call to the load static at the top. There have been countless times where I've encountered a template syntax error exception that Django will throw in my face when I'm writing templates. And it's usually because I forgot to have the load static call to bring in the template tags. So if you're new to Django and new to template tags, load will bite you frequently, in has been my experience anyway. Maybe I'm just really bad at that, but I find that I will forget that piece. So if you encounter that particular error, check your load to make sure that you've included the actual template tags, because the static tag is not included by default. So we need to ask ourselves a question of, why didn't we just hard code a path in the template of /static/css/site.css? And that could work, but there are some problems that come about because of it. So what if you wanted to change your static URL? What if you decided that /static/ is not what you wanted, and you wanted to switch it to something like /s/, just for a silly example? If you had hard-coded your path, then you'd be having to update every single spot that used that hard-coded /static. This is very similar to the way that the URL tag worked when we had our discussion about URLs, or the reverse function works if you're in the Python code. The same pattern applies, in that you give a name that can be used as a lookup, and then let Django build the proper version of a URL to have. This is going to be very important later when we talk about some of the other techniques that optimize static files. So it's important to remember to use the static tag in your templates, or else you're going to have some problems down the road. Outside of templates, it is possible to use the static file machinery within Python code. You can call the same static function that is used in template tags in your code in order to reference certain paths. So let's say, for example, you have a JavaScript client and it needs access to a particular file that's on your server, and you don't want to pass in a hard-coded path for the same reasons that we just described. So you might have a view that wants to call this. So the static function that is used by the static template tag is available for import, and you can use it in your views. So I'm going to give us a very simple view here. This is application-views.py, and we're going to import from django.http import JSON response. We're also going to import from django.templateTags.static import static. And our view function is going to be called getCSS. It's going to take a request object, and it's going to return a JSON response. And in that JSON response, we're going to pass in a dictionary. The dictionary has a CSS key, and the value side of that dictionary is the call to this static function, and we pass in css/site.css. And so this will resolve similarly to our example from the template, where you'll get something like /static/css/site.css as the string value in the dictionary. I will say that calling static from within views is really uncommon. It's not something I see very much in my years of working with Django. It's come up a handful of times. It's something that is kind of cool to know is available to you, but frankly, you're going to end up using static more in your templates than in your regular view code, in my experience. That sums up how to use static files in your actual project, to actually reference them either in your template code or your view code. Now we need to move our attention, though, to some of the deployment considerations that happen. We talked about the static root configuration setting, and I mentioned that Django will put all of the static files into the static root setting at some point. But the question is, when will it do that? It's not something that's automatic. How does Django know to put the static files in that location for serving when you're deploying your application? And if the static files are not collected automatically, then how does the application even work when you're not putting your files there? Where is it getting its files from? The answer to that comes with the debug setting and the development mode that's built into the application. Debug is a very important setting that you'll encounter, and you'll get this big warning if you use the start project command to say, like, make sure you don't have this set to true when you deploy your application. And it's really important because you can leak all kinds of secret data about your application if you have debug on when you deploy your app. the Django developers expect debug to be set to false when you deploy your live site. Because of this expectation, there can be a little bit of logic handling that happens when debug is actually set to true. So if you're running your application with the run server command, so for the local development server, and you've got debug set to true, then the development web server will behave differently in how it looks for static files. It uses something called finders. Finders are an interface that the static file system uses to locate static files wherever they might be on your system. And by default, there are two kinds of finders included. It's a setting called static files underscore finders, and it's a list setting that has strings, and those strings are the module paths to the finders to use. And there are two finders. There's one called the file system finder, and there's another finder called the app directories finder. As you can probably guess, the file system finder is looking for static files that are within the file, a certain file system directory. And the place that it's looking for is the setting that we used earlier for static files DIRs. So the way that we made our static directory work that was added to the root is because static files DIRs is working in conjunction with the file system finder to actually locate any files. Now, I said as well that you can get static files within other Django apps, just like you can have template files in other Django apps. And the way that that works is with the app directories finder. The app directories finder looks for a static directory in each of your Django applications, and if it exists, it will look in that directory and pull out that file. So when you're running in a development server, I think you can start to get an idea of how this is going to be slow, because in order to discover a file at development time, Django has to explore all of the static files directories and all of the installed apps directories to look for a file before it gives up. So one single file requires potentially a traversal through every single static files directory and every single installed apps directory. So you sum the length of those two lists together, and you'll get the number of directories that it has to go over to figure that out. You can see how this starts to be slow, because walking a lot of directories to find a single file, that's a slow process. Conversely, when debug is set to false, all of that slow machinery is turned off, and the only place that Django will be looking for your static files is the place that you have defined at static root. If it's not in static root, it is a 404. That file is not found. So how do we populate static root? The answer comes with a management command called collect static. It is collecting all your static files together and merging them into a single directory that is defined by static root. So when you deploy your application for a production sort of setting, running collect static is a critical element of that process. Let's talk a little bit about optimizing performance of the static files. In the settings that we've discussed so far, we aggregate all the files together, and that's great. We get the performance benefits of looking in a single directory, but we can do better. There are things about this that are not optimal. So there's one more setting that we have to consider. It's called the static files storage setting. And the static files storage setting instructs Django on how to treat the static files that it knows about and how to do lookups for them. And this is where we have extra opportunity to add optimizations. So when we think about optimizing websites, one of the big things that we have to consider is that there's a lot of network traffic. There's a lot of communication between a browser and a server. So a really good way to optimize is to cache information on the browser side so that the browser and the server don't have to communicate, because that's traveling over the internet. And, you know, the speed of light is only what it is. And there's slow computers all over the place. So if we can avoid traffic on the network between the browser and the server, then we can get a lot of performance boosts. So that means we have to cache files in some smart ways, but we need to talk about a little bit about what caching is and what that looks like. So if you're not super familiar with caching, it's the idea that we're going to retrieve a file a single time, and a browser will store that information on its end, on the client side, at the client's computer. And then when it needs to get it again, it's going to check and see, do I already have this file in a cache? And do I need to go back to the server and ask for something? There are some challenges with caching. In fact, it's classically considered one of a couple of hard problems in computer science. And so we need to think about the implications of the ways that we do caching with static files. How can we cache a file like site.css that we've been using as our example? Imagine that you have this file and you've got your initial styling and somebody visits your site and gets that file and checks out the page, and you decide to change some of the styles on your site. You decide to change the look and feel. So you want to communicate to that user's browser that they should get a new version of the site.css file so that they can see the latest and greatest changes that you've made and improved your site. What can we do to make that work? In order to get an appropriate version of that site.css file, we have to be able to tell the browser to differentiate between a couple of different versions. And the way this is done typically is with a technique called fingerprinting. So fingerprinting a file will give each file a unique identifier to attach to it and will allow a browser to differentiate between a first version of site.css and a second version of it. And the way that that happens is it calculates a hash. And a hash is a numeric value that it happens through some computation about the content of the file most commonly, and it appends that information to the actual file name. So a file like site.css will be run through a hashing function and will get out a hexadecimal value. So I'm going to use ABCD1234, but just when I say that, just imagine that that is a generated value from a function that is always going to be consistent. And it takes that computated value and puts it in the file name. So now our file name is no longer site.css. Now we have site.abcd1234.css. So that's generating a fingerprint for the file name. And the question is, how do we start using that? Well, remember earlier we talked about the static template tag, and I said that in the most basic version of the static tag, it's going to give you something like /static/css/site.css. And that's useful, but you can see how we can now take the fingerprinted name and put that instead. So by using the static tag, we can replace the site.css with site.abcd1234.css. By that change, we get the benefit that we're looking for. When a user visits your page and the template renders, the static tag is going to produce this longer name. So they will get a versioned name for your site.css file and be able to store that in their browser. The browser will also receive what's considered a cache header in the HTTP request. And that header, which is a bit of metadata that comes along with HTTP requests, will say, you can store this particular file for a year. And the combination of the fingerprinted name plus this cache header, which says to store it for a year, tells a browser that I don't need to ask for that file again. How is this beneficial? It's beneficial because the next time we change site.css, then we're going to get a new file name. So if we run the new content of the site.css file through the hashing function, it's going to return a new identifier. So instead of ABCD1234, we might now have EF567890. And what that means is that when your user comes back to your site and asks for that file again, Django is going to return that new file name. And so the browser is going to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't actually have this file. I don't have site.ef567890.css. So it has to go fetch that. We have avoided a lot of extra traffic because the browser has cached the old version, so it only had to ask for it for the one time. But when we said that we have a new version, we signal to the user that we have a new version by showing them a new file name. Their browser won't have it in the cache, and the browser will have to download the new version to get their changes. That's the mechanics of how caching can work to get a lot of speed up out of static files, but we haven't actually changed anything in our setup yet to get this. So what do we have to do as developers to get this caching benefit to make our site as fast as reasonably possible? There's a couple techniques. I'm going to talk about one that is purely in Django first, and then I'll describe another one later. So we're going to look at a tool called White Noise. White Noise is a project that you add into your Django app. It's a pip installable package. And then once you have installed it from pip, you can go and configure Django to use that as the static files storage. So static files storage is another setting in the static files app, and it is the rules that Django will use to interface with the static files of your application. We are going to use this new static files storage setting. So once you've installed White Noise with pip install White Noise, then we'll need to go into our settings file and make a couple of changes. White Noise works by having a piece of middleware and then this static files storage setting. Again, these are all in the show notes, so if you get lost with some of this configuration bits, you can go look at the show notes to check that out. In project settings.py, we need to add the White Noise middleware. Because of where White Noise lives in the application and its purpose, we want to serve static files as early as possible. Remember, static files are things that don't change, so there's no Python processing that needs to happen to these things. So we want to avoid running as much Python code as we can anytime that our Django app is serving up static files. So that means that because of the way middleware works, you want to include the White Noise middleware very high in your list of middleware. The only thing that I actually leave above the White Noise middleware typically is the Django security middleware, because the security middleware is protection that you're always going to want, regardless of whether you're serving a static file or not, because you might be serving requests that are trying to come in as HTTP instead of HTTPS. So I would leave that one above it. So in our settings.py file, in our middleware, we're going to add as the second item a string value of whitenoise.middleware.whitenoise_middleware. The second settings change that we have to make is actually set the static files underscore storage setting, and that's going to be a string value of whitenoise.storage.compressed_manifest_static_files_storage. That's a mouthful. Again, go check out the show notes if you missed that. And the beautiful part is that's about the extent of the setup. From here, White Noise has everything that it needs to do that caching scheme that we talked about just a moment ago. When you run the collect static command, what White Noise will do is in your static root directory will generate all of the fingerprinted files that we talked about. On top of that, there's another optimization that I didn't even discuss about compression. So when your browser asks for data from a web server, it can say, hey, I actually support the ability to compress data down to a smaller format, something using like gzip, or there's another one called Brotli. By serving compressed versions of files, there's actually a smaller amount of file data that has to be sent to the user's browser. Once the browser receives the compressed file, it can uncompress it and get the original content back. It turns out that the act of compressing files and serving the smaller ones and then uncompressing it on the other side is faster than the network time that it usually takes to send the full uncompressed file, which is why we do that. So those are two optimization steps that White Noise will do on your behalf, and all you had to do was set a middleware and set the static files storage. White Noise is pretty great, and I think it's fantastic if you're using a platform as a service like Heroku, but there are times where White Noise is not the way to go. And for all of its benefits, Python is not the fastest programming language in the world, and White Noise operates within the Python application server. So by serving files from White Noise, you are going through Python, which means things might run slower. So if you find that you're building a super popular website and you need more power than that, there are other approaches. The other approach that I'm going to discuss here today is one that uses something called a reverse proxy. A reverse proxy is another piece of software. It's another piece of software that you would have to add to your stack, and it would exist between the client's browser and your Python web application server. With a reverse proxy, when a browser views your URL, it will actually talk to the reverse proxy first, and the reverse proxy will then send the request onto the application server if it needs to. The benefit of a reverse proxy is that it can intercept some of the request URLs, inspect them, and then handle them differently. So we talked earlier about static root and the collect static command and putting all of the files into a single directory at whatever static root was set to. With a reverse proxy, what you do is point the reverse proxy at that static root directory and configure the reverse proxy to serve those instead. In this setup, anything that comes to /static/ would be served by the reverse proxy, and anything that doesn't look like a static file, like /accounts/login, will be delegated to your actual application server so that Python can handle that logic. The benefit of this setup is that the file requests never even get to the Python application server. And reverse proxies are usually written in a language that makes them extremely fast and extremely high performance. Languages like C or Rust or Go, these are optimal use cases for reverse proxies. A reverse proxy adds complexity to your deployment setup, but can give you a lot of speed benefits if you're finding that is the case. There's a third option here that I'm not really discussing. It's using a content delivery network. It's probably the happy medium between using white noise and using a reverse proxy. I think I'd probably advocate for it if you're finding that you started with a white noise setup and your application is getting overloaded with traffic. I would probably recommend looking at a content delivery network that can serve static files and let you continue to use white noise. That's a little bit outside of the scope of how much I'm going to talk about for this particular episode, but that is a third option that you can go check out. So in this episode, we've covered static files. We talked about what static files are. We've looked at how to configure static files for your Django app. We talked about the ways that you can use static files within your templates and views, and we talked about how static files can be optimized when deploying your site to the internet. On the next episode, we're going to talk about testing your application. Besides clicking around in your browser, what can you do to verify that your project and your application remains correct, and that you have the peace of mind that it works as you would expect, and that your users and customers can be happy? That's what we're going to cover next time. Full show notes for this episode are available at www.mattlehman.com/DjangoRiffs/12.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Django Riffs. You can follow the show at DjangoRiffs.com. If you have something to share, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MBLehman, or follow the Django Riffs handle to keep up with the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate or review on iTunes, Spotify, or from wherever you listen to podcasts. Your rating will help others discover the podcast, and I would be very grateful. Django Riffs is supported by listeners like you. If you can contribute financially to cover hosting and production costs, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/MBLehman. The theme music for Django Riffs is Open Roads, used with permission from Purple Planet Music. I hope you'll join us next time to learn more about Django. Take care.